Dogs make the best companions for humans. This podcast aims to help make humans better companions for their dogs. Welcome to the Beru Podcast, a modern lifestyle podcast for dogs and their people. I'm your host, Charlotte Bain. I've been caring for other people's dogs for more than 15 years. And while I've learned a lot in my career, I definitely don't know it all. So I've collected an ever-evolving roster of amazing dog people, and I learn new things from them all the time. Hi, you guys. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Beru Podcast. In today's episode, renowned integrative veterinarian Dr. Rob Silver joins me to discuss the healing powers of mushrooms, from their historical and contemporary use to their potential in fighting ailments like cancer, cognitive decline, and anxiety in our pups, just to name a few. This episode is really a treasure of valuable information, so let's just jump right into the chat. Well, thank you so much for jumping on and chatting with me. I really appreciate it. Medicinal mushrooms is something that I know nothing about. So
yeah, no, most people don't know anything about medicinal mushrooms. That's my job to explain that information, and I've gotten pretty good at it. So
yeah.
let me at it.
Yeah. Good. There's definitely a buzz in the human health and wellness space around the use of medicinal mushrooms for our own health. And I assume it transfers to our pets in much the same way, right?
It does. And in fact, the buzz is also starting to build up volume within the pet space as well, because as you know, pet parents want to give their four-legged family members the same benefits that they receive themselves from whatever they're doing in their lifestyle.
Right. You know? So how did you become passionate about medicinal mushrooms? You're an integrative veterinarian.
Mm-hmm. I'm an integrative veterinarian of 40 years of experience. One of the originals, actually. I'm an old timer. And, medicinal mushrooms are another tool, an excellent tool. But it is only recently, I would say within the last 5 to 10 years, that good quality products have been available in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And so in the absence of the availability of these products, no one can have any experience using them. So we are unable to get more information. Most of the research done into medicinal mushrooms has been with humans or in laboratory animals, in laboratory settings. There's been one or two studies with mushrooms and pets, and I can talk about those a little bit. Mostly, when we think about medicinal mushrooms, most people, I think the first thing comes to mind is cancer, something for cancer. And mushrooms do have their highest calling for that. But we have been finding a number of really amazing applications for pets for the variety of different medicinal mushrooms we have available. So I've been interested in mushrooms for a long time. The availability of good products is only recent. So, but I have expertise in other realms as well. For instance, I'm one of the global experts in pet cannabis use, and I have several published chapters in that respect as well. So I'm just, to me, integrative medicine means taking the best of conventional medicine and blending that with the best of evidence-based alternative medicine. And it's not always the same blend. Each pet, each patient has their own needs. Some need more conventional, some need more alternative. And it's really the task of the integrative veterinarian or of the pet parent who is integratively minded to figure out which is the best blend. Many pet parents have a bit of a phobia about conventional medicine, about drugs, about, I share a respect and caution about those. And I think that one reason why we've developed these phobias is they've been overused and they've been misused. I think steroids are great. if they're used properly at lower dosages for shorter periods of time, unless they're needed, unless we have a terminal kind of a situation, but they tend to get overused. And when they're given too much, then they get that bad rap. So, you know, it's all about the individual mm-hmm. animal and what you're doing for mm-hmm. them.
As we're talking, you mentioned cancer is one of the kind of foremost things we think about when we're talking about medicinal mushrooms. With that being said, I have a dog that I care for who just had a mast cell tumor removed mm-hmm. from his face. He's doing well. He's going to start chemo. And what I'm wondering is, how can we utilize medicinal mushrooms to help support him during this okay. process? Or how can they be beneficial for that particular dog and situation?
Well, first of all, I'd make the assumption that because the veterinarian feels that the mast cell tumor is aggressive enough that they want to use chemo for that. Mast cell tumors have come in different flavors and some of the flavors are not very aggressive and really right. don't pose right. a long-term problem or the problem of spread, but the highest grade does. And that's the grade that we generally talk about using chemo for. And I think, medicinal mushrooms can provide a very good companion to chemotherapy. There's no evidence based on the scientific literature that medicinal mushrooms defeat the effectiveness of chemotherapy, although we don't have information for every single chemo agent and every single mushroom used and every single type of, you know, cancerous disease in dogs. But I think it's enough to know that we can be comfortable with them being not just safe, but there also are some studies showing that medicinal mushrooms actually can increase the effectiveness of chemotherapy because of their beta-glucan content. And many types of chemotherapy can actually cause problems with the bone marrow. It can cause anemia. It can cause a reduction in the important white cells that you need to fight the cancer and protect against infections. And the beta-glucans that are in all mushrooms, but in particular in the mushrooms I'm going to describe in just a second, also affect the stem cells in the bone marrow and help them to grow more red cells or more white cells. So there's that kind of benefit right then and there. The beta-glucans themselves will stimulate cells of the immune system to be more vigilant to attack the cancer cells. And so we have some studies that show that beta-glucans alone, without the benefit of chemotherapy, cause a reduction in growth of cancer. So there's a really good option right there. But there's even one other benefit that goes beyond that for mast cells. And that is mast cells are known to be the immune cells of the body that are involved in the release of histamine. Mm-hmm. And so with mast cell tumors, oftentimes we can get kind of allergy types of histamine types of responses, oftentimes a lot of redness and tenderness and that sort of stuff. There are two mushrooms which have antihistaminic properties as well as containing those very valuable beta-glucans that I was just describing. My microphone cable keeps getting in my way. And those two mushrooms, one is called reishi. Okay. Otherwise known as Ganoderma lucidum. That's the botanical name for it. And the other one is called chaga, C-H-A-G-A. And so when those are used either singly or together, they will help to dampen down any kind of release of histamine from those mast cells. So I think that, you know, for mast, and I'm glad you used this as an example, I think that mast cell tumors are very, very, good candidates for the use of medicinal mushrooms, specifically those two mushrooms. So
it's very good news.
Yeah.
And what is the best way to administer that? Powder form, chew form, or how do you give medicinal mushrooms?
Well, the company that I'm working with right now that is kind of sponsoring my doing this podcast with you is called Real Mushrooms. And they're a Canadian company. And their parent company, Namex, has been growing medicinal mushrooms under USDA organic standards for 40 years. 8 years ago, Real Mushrooms decided that instead of just selling these bulk mushroom extracts to other companies to make into retail products, that they would develop their own retail line, which is what we call Real Mushrooms. And so I joined, they've been around for 8 years selling their products for humans. I joined them two years ago. I'm a veterinarian. I worked for 25 years with another company developing 40 formulas for veterinary use for a variety of different things. That company was sold and I've moved on. And so I came to Real Mushrooms to develop their pet line. And so in the pet line, these mushroom extracts are made into a powder format.
Okay.
And they're very concentrated and they analyze them. So we know exactly how many beta glucans they contain, because I've developed a dosing strategy based on the beta glucan content of the mushroom and the weight of the patient and how severe the problem is. Like a cancer patient would get a much higher dosage than just wellness, you know, or using it just for antihist. Let's say we have seasonal allergies, which would be another place that we would want to use.
Yeah, that was going to be a question.
Yeah. Which would be another place we'd want to use mushrooms for. So we might want to use a higher dosage for that, but maybe not as high a dose as we might use for cancer. So these products come as a powder. So you can buy them in bulk pouches, measure them with kitchen teaspoon measurements, just mix it in with the food, because mushrooms are food. So you can give them with food and it works well. Or we also put them in two different sizes of capsules. One size is the human size, larger, and the other is a smaller size for pets. The pet products all have the dosing recommendations on their labels. And then I've also developed two soft chews. And one of those soft chews is the soft chew that contains those two mushrooms in it. I call those mushroom immune chews. And another soft chew has a relaxing effect with two mushrooms that have a relaxing benefit for calming, for stress, for those sorts of things. And because you have a lot of room in a little soft chew, I've also put other herbs and other nutraceuticals in those soft chews to increase their effectiveness. Okay. So it's really just a lot of choices. And I'm spending a lot of time reaching out to veterinarians. So your holistic veterinarian will know about our company and know about these products and the advantage that they can offer clinically for them.
Right. That's fantastic. So that brings me to another question. So I have my own dog, Chance. He's 15 and he's started to have a little bit of like canine cognition dysfunction. And he's also, his anxiety is kind of ramping up a little bit. So, so as I've read, it's common in senior dogs. I guess he's a geriatric dog at this point, but, so the calming chews would be something that would be incredibly beneficial to him in that way. Or is there something specific to address the anxiety? Because I have so many clients that suffer from anxiety.
Anxiety is a big thing. I just completed a podcast for the Pet Anxiety Summit that's coming up next month.
Great.
So yeah, you know, canine cognitive disorder, CCD, is what you're describing. Mm-hmm. We see this in a lot of the elderly patients. Dogs and cats as well. We also these days, it just seems like anxiety is on the rise, but really I'm not surprised. There is so much going on in the world today that's creating anxiety in humans. Yep. I mean, all the natural disasters and the political stuff and all that is just really stressful, and pets feel what they're parents are feeling, and they have their own stressors that they have to deal with as well. So, so I've got answers for both of those problems that involve in part using mushrooms. Now, mushrooms are, they're really a superfood, a functional food. They're really not drugs. And so I really recommend that instead of thinking about just taking a mushroom for this problem for these 2 days or three, that you really need to think more about the bigger picture, what your animal's constitution is, and using them on a daily basis, because they work much better the longer they're used when they're used regularly like that. So there is one mushroom in particular that we think will work really well for canine cognitive disorder, and that mushroom is called lion's mane. Maybe you've heard of that mushroom.
I have heard of that.
It's the most
mushroom. That's one mushroom that I have heard of. Yes.
Okay. It's the most popular mushroom in North America, and probably in Europe would be okay. my guess as well, because of its ability to improve memory and its ability to treat, to improve cognition. And it's being used to treat certain forms of dementia, including Alzheimer's. If it's, there's some published studies where in early Alzheimer's, the use of lion's mane is showing some improvement, or at least slowing down the progression of it. So lion's mane alone as a mushroom could be a very good mushroom to use. Now, I've taken the lion's mane and I blended it with another mushroom called reishi, which is the same mushroom that I was talking about that had antihistaminic properties. And reishi is really, it's considered the mushroom of immortality and probably is the most famous mushroom out there. In ancient China, peasants would come upon beautiful specimens, huge specimens of reishi. They would collect it and take it to the emperor as an offering because it can, it would bestow great honor upon them, but it would bestow hopefully immortality upon the emperor. And so reishi extracts are used by Zen masters as a meditation. So I took the reishi and I combined it with the lion's mane, which also is good for stress and relaxation, but also good for dementia. And reishi also has some benefits as well for dementia. And I put them together into a soft chew, the Relax Mushroom Chews. And I added to that tryptophan, which is, you know, the amino acid that helps to create more serotonin. And I also added to that theanine. Theanine is an amino acid found in green tea. And it's what gives green tea its zen. You know, that's why green tea doesn't get you all jittery. It's got this theanine in it. And then I put some other herbs in there like catnip and valerian and lemon balm and a passion flower. And so it is a very calming and settling, soft chew. And so, but for the cognition part, the seniors, it's really the lion's mane that, that does the heavy lifting in that formula. Okay. And so you could give lion's mane alone. I'm working on a formula for CCD that would have lion's mane and a couple of other, herbs in it, like, or an amino acid like carnitine, for instance, and an herb like ginkgo, which also helps with memory. And so I'm working on that formula, and we'll be creating that product as soon as I get the green light to do it, you know.
So are there any like contraindications with using mushrooms? I know they're a superfood, but any mushroom set that we shouldn't be giving to our pets, or any mushrooms that could be not good with like any other supplements that we're giving
Right? And, you know, if we're not talking about mushrooms that you might find in the wild, which we strongly recommend eating against eating because of the potential of getting the wrong mushroom that looks like the right mushroom. With, you know, with pets, there really are very few contraindications. There are a few animals and a few people that could have some allergies to mushrooms. Particularly, we see that with shiitake. Humans have a shiitake mushroom allergy. Not very common. We've seen in some pets with higher doses of mushrooms a sensitivity that might develop into some diarrhea, which is transient and could be corrected by lowering the dosage. There's really very little published that suggests there's bad interactions. Certainly, if you're on anticoagulant medication, it's always important, no matter what else you're using, to be careful about that, because the whole clotting issue could be very life-threatening if it's not managed properly. But no, their studies show mushrooms work well with chemotherapy. Mushrooms work well with NSAIDs. Some mushrooms have some anti-inflammatory, pain-relieving, mobility-enhancing properties that allows them to be used together with NSAIDs, you know, our Rimadyl and our Meloxicam and Galliprant and all those new ones we've got out there now too. So no, I think mushrooms really are a great addition to any animal's life and any human's life. and giving them the right amount. And if you've got specific conditions, you know, looking at using the right mushroom, what you're going to find commonly in terms of products are combinations where you're not just getting a single mushroom, but you're getting a blend of maybe five mushrooms, maybe seven mushrooms, maybe three mushrooms. And there's a great deal of evidence that when they're given together, they kind of work synergistically to enhance each other's benefits. And so Real Mushrooms has a product, their single most popular product ever of all time is one they call Five Defenders. And it has five mushrooms in it, including the reishi and the chaga. So we recommend the Five Defenders be used with mast cell for that reason and for seasonal allergies. But it also has three other mushrooms, all of which are known for their potency to treat cancer. One is called turkey tail. Maybe you've heard of turkey tail. There was a study
on turkey tail
in dogs with hemangiosarcoma that showed some very good results. That first study in 2012 is really one of the reasons why so many people got interested in using turkey tail for their pets. Whether they're a pet parent or a veterinarian, the results for this cancer study were surprisingly good. And so turkey tail in many ways was kind of the entry level of mushrooms for most pet parents. And many are still using turkey tail, and it's a great mushroom, not just for cancer, not just for infectious disease, but also for the microbiome and for many other things. Mushrooms have a wide variety of effects. It also has shiitake mushroom in it. And shiitake, as tasty as that mushroom is one of the most widely researched and powerful mushrooms for the treatment of cancer in Asia. It's used widely in Asia, and there are extracts of that that are even made into injectables that are given by physicians to cancer patients concurrently with chemotherapy. And then the fifth mushroom in there is called maitake mushroom. And maitake also has very strong anti-cancer properties. And shiitake and maitake are some of the most prized edible mushrooms out there. You know, I don't know if you live somewhere where people do mushroom foraging, but if there's maitake growing wherever you are, it's really a great
mushroom. Los Angeles, I live in Los Angeles. I don't know if we do a lot of mushroom foraging here, but.
Well, you never know. Yeah, it's Southern California, and there's some moisture. Well, not that moisture. I know up in the Bay Area up north, there's quite a few mushrooms growing further north, but not sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm originally from Seattle, so we definitely probably.
Pacific Northwest is a hotbed of mushrooming for sure. Yeah.
So, is there evidence support that if we're using this as a supplement or as a nutraceutical on a daily basis, that it can help prevent some of these diseases? Like, do we wait until a dog has a mast cell tumor to give them mushrooms? Or do we use this as something that's preventative? Or a dog that's could be prone to cancer, or something like a golden retriever, or to be proactive about it, do we give mushrooms?
I think being proactive is excellent. That's the essence of holistic and integrative medicine. We don't have any kind of prevention studies in pets. We don't have a lot of studies in pets, which is a shame, but I'm sure they'll be coming. But there are several studies, and one in particular, an epidemiological study in which they followed a population of people in Asia, probably, I think is in Asia, and followed them over a number of years and then tracked the development of cancer and then measured how many mushrooms they would eat on a daily basis. Even things as simple as little white button mushrooms. And they found a substantial prevention and protection against the development of cancer in this population. So I do believe that we do have a preventative effect of mushrooms. Okay. And that's kind of where this whole dosing thing comes in. So for wellness and prevention, we'd use a low dosage every day, every day, every day. We have found that you can train your immune system using mushrooms to be much more vigilant, to be much more ready to find a cancer cell or find an infectious agent and destroy them. So mm-hmm. when cancer is just a single cell or two in the body, if the immune system is working, it takes care of that. Cancer cells are always arising in our bodies through mutations. It's our immune system that eliminates them.
Right.
So by making the immune system more effective, you can help to reduce your chances of it. And these epidemiological studies support that that is true.
Okay.
So for instance, you could take the five defenders at a much lower dosage. And what's nice about the Real Mushrooms products is we publish on the label what the actual beta glucan content is. So you could use my formula to compute that, but mm-hmm. we also have it in a format that says a capsule for every 20 to 40 pounds of body weight, which is another way of looking at it. And you start with the lower dosage, but when they, so you would do a lower dosage every day and they develop this, this protective, prevention. And then if they were unfortunate enough, even with that prevention, to develop something, because poop happens, you know, then you would double or triple the dosage and probably add a few more things in there that are specific for the type of cancer that gets diagnosed.
Okay. Okay. You mentioned the studies in Asia. And I know that you source your mushrooms for Real Mushrooms primarily in China. Is
yes,
that correct?
In China.
Is there a reason for this? For those who might understand why you need to outsource to China.
I understand for the pet parent that China is not a favored place to get things from. You know,
yeah.
I practice as a veterinarian through the great pet food recall of 2007.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I know. I had patients die from that stuff. Mm. I know. But China has been developing mushroom technology. They've been using mushrooms since about 3000 BC.
Mm.
85% of all the mushrooms that are that are cultivated in the world come from China.
Mm-hmm.
They do it the best.
Okay.
So the founder of this company went to China and started working with those experts
mm-hmm.
and established some grow centers in the highlands far away from pollution
mm-hmm.
and also introduced the concept of organic growing to the Chinese.
Okay.
They've had conferences every year now about growing organic mushrooms in China, and all the mushrooms that they grow there are triple tested for pesticides and heavy metals and all that stuff to make sure it's a very clean product. But it is always a bit of a learning curve for me to explain.
Sure.
That they come from China, because I have the same kinds of feelings that everybody else does. And I had to look at the actual analyses and look at all their manufacturing processes mm-hmm. and their growing processes before I became a believer in the quality of these products. And so because Asia and Eastern Europe are probably the two hotbeds of mushroom foraging, of mushroom use for food, culinary uses, but also mushroom use for medicinal uses.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why most of the world scientific literature about mushrooms either comes out of Asia or comes out of Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing papers coming out of the Czech Republic and out of Hungary, where there's a lot of work being done
right.
with mushrooms medicinally. So that's why we refer to that, you know, to Asia and to those studies that we find there. But there's more and more studies now also coming from the US and from Europe as the entire scientific community is getting interested in looking at mushrooms from a different vantage point, you know?
Right, right. Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, sometimes we have to, you know, check our biases and,
of course,
you know, and the uncomfortable associations we might have with certain mm-hmm. things to get through, to get look at That's, what's best for the
yes.
pet. And for us and for all around, right? So I wanted to touch on one more thing
sure.
that you were talking about. You were talking about the microbiome
yes.
a little bit ago. Not to bring up another dog that I have, but as many of my dogs care for do, one of the
yes.
dogs I care for has gut issues. We're fairly certain at this point he has IBD,
sure.
Inflammatory bowel disease. It's just kind of gotten so out of control. And I'm just wondering how medicinal mushrooms can help benefit the microbiome and such diseases such as IBD, which is from what I learned, it's kind of like IBS, which has like been
exactly
taken to IBS
start,
level, right?
No, IBS starts with stress and creates and develops into kind of a chronic inflammation in the bowel, which if left unchecked, then can progress to inflammatory bowel disease. So, you know, and I've always prided myself on my skills in working with digestive problems. And in fact, I used to jokingly call myself Dr. Diarrhea because I was so, you know, so good at dealing with that stuff. But, and so really, you know, with digestive problems, it's a multifactorial thing, starting with food, you know, starting with the actual food that you're feeding. And many dogs will develop intolerances and sensitivities to foods that can also set up inflammation in the bowel that then goes on to progress to this and that. And so, you know, we have to do a number of different things. It's not just give them a mushroom, they're going to be better, you know.
Right.
So, you know, we start with food. There's so many different herbs like ginger, which marshmallow root, slippery elm, which could be so good for the digestive system process. Of course, adding probiotics is very good. These days, I don't know if you've done any looking into fecal transplants and using, you know, using like there's either using the stool or they now have it in freeze-dried little capsules, you know, that can also help to restore and replenish the microbiome. But mushrooms contain beta-glucans and they contain something called chitin. And this is very strong, non-digestible fiber that makes up the cell wall of each cell in that fungal organism. And it's very strong. I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures of like cement pavers that are being raised up by a mushroom that's growing underneath. That's how strong this fiber is. And that's one reason when we have that mushrooms need to be cooked in order for them, for you to receive any of their medicinal benefits and many of their nutritional benefits as well. They need to be cooked so we can break down that cell wall. And the beta-glucans are part of that cell wall. Well, it turns out that the fiber of beta-glucans and the fiber of the chitin, and chitin's a precursor to glucosamine, by the way, and was found also in that hard exoskeleton that we see in crabs and lobsters and shrimp. But the chitin and the beta-glucan are actually food for the microbiome. And the beta-glucans that are, in addition to being food for the microbiome, the beta-glucans alter the immune cells that are in the bowel and have them reduce the pathogenic bacteria. So you don't just feed the microbiome, you also modulate the microbiome to have more of the good bugs and less of the bad bugs. And I spoke about one mushroom, lion's mane, for its ability to help with cognition. Well, before we learned that it was good for cognition, lion's mane historically has been used for GI issues. It was used for gastritis, esophagitis. There's some evidence it helps with inflammatory bowel disease as well. And we know there's that neurogenic connection, like we mentioned, the stress with IBS. So if you know that the lion's mane is settling things down in the brain in terms of stress, it's going to have an effect. It's the brain gut axis. It's going to have good effect on the gut as well. Another mushroom that I mentioned earlier for mast cells, the chaga, historically has been also known to be good for as a digestive tonic. So I would look at either one of those or both of those together as individual mushrooms. We don't have a combination that has those two in it, to be used as companions with everything else that you would be doing to try to help that poor dog who has those terrible bowel spasms and diarrhea and the household and everything else. You know, one little hint, you know, essential oil of peppermint, a couple of drops in the water. Peppermint is a smooth muscle antispasmodic herb. And so they recommend this for humans. A glass of water, one drop of peppermint oil, drink it. You know? And you can, you know, if the smell of the peppermint doesn't dissuade the dog from taking the food, it could be very helpful in terms of just reducing some of that discomfort when they get those diarrhea spasms, you know?
Yeah, poor guy. That's an easy suggestion for the pet parents.
It is.
I feel like we've tried so many things with this guy. So
Yeah,
but we will definitely look into the mushroom aspect.
Okay, cool.
Dr. Silver, this has been really lovely. Is there anything else that you want to add for the pet parents? Anything that we should know?
Well, I think that there's a lot of resources available today for the pet parent to learn more from people who are experts out there. Certainly coming and listening to your podcast is an excellent resource for them. You know, I've been looking at many of the Facebook pages out there and the pet summits that they're doing and, you know, and really trying to figure out how I can fit into all of this as well. And so I'm in the process of trying to develop my own Facebook group and some coaching and some online courses and workshops that, that will allow me to share some of my knowledge and some of my skills with pet parents to benefit the health of their pets. So I think this is just, you know, a great opportunity, as I again thank you for offering that to me today. And I hope that it's a benefit. I hope it's a benefit to your listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Silver, for joining me.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate what you're doing. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Silver.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Beru Podcast. Dr. Rob and Real Mushrooms are offering Beru listeners 25% off their first order at Real Mushrooms for Pets. So I've put a link in the show notes for your 25% off, or you can go to theberu.com to shop podcast, and you will also be able to purchase through a link on theberu.com. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, please don't forget to rate and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can also follow on Instagram at Beru Podcast. And if you have a story of canine companionship that you'd like to share with me, or a question, or even a comment, I would love to hear from you. You can email me, Charlotte, at theberu.com. All right, you guys, let's chat soon.